see it from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ram Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHBO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, 926. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope your day is going well. Talking today with Senator Paul Shemph. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. It's a full moon. It's Friday the 13th. So being the son of two school teachers, I'm thinking about all the teachers today that are having to probably deal with some wild kids.
That is true. Of course, you know, I mean, I do drive a school bus. I can tell the moon is full.
You've been able to notice that correlation as well, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's strange how that works, but, you know, you sit there and think, oh, that's just old tales or whatever. But no, I think there's something to it.
There seems to be something. I mean, both my parents always talked about that when they were school teachers. And I've also noticed it just with the constituent calls that come into our offices. It seems like we get a lot more calls and a lot more people are agitated when there is a full moon. So, yeah, there's no scientific basis, but it's fun to talk about.
True. So how are things going?
Things are going well for me. I guess the big news with me since I was on your program the last time is at the end of August, I announced that I'm not going to be running for re-election this upcoming cycle. And the reason for that is I think everybody knows that I believe you do have a duty to serve, but I also think you have a responsibility to try to match what your interests are and what your talents are with where you can do the most good. And I may have another opportunity coming up where I think I can, where there may be a better fit for my talent and my personality. But because that's out there, I couldn't commit to serving another term. So the election cycle for the 2020 election is on us already. The petition gathering period has started up, and I just feel that if you're going to ask people for their trust and their votes, you need to be committed to serving the term that you want to run for. And because some things are going on that I may not be able to serve out the term that would start in 2021, I had to make the difficult decision that I was not going to run for re-election. And it was a difficult decision because I do enjoy being a state senator. It's a tremendous honor to represent the people of southwestern Illinois, and I think we've been able to get some stuff done. And I'm gonna miss it, but for the near term, I'm going to continue being a state senator. I'm not stepping down. I'm just not running for re-election. So I still have 15 months left in my term.
So a little over a year.
Yep. So I will continue to be your state senator for the foreseeable future. If there's something that I can help you out with, definitely reach out to my office. I've got offices in Murfreesboro, Mount Vernon, Sparta, and Waterloo. Definitely, I can meet you close to your home. You don't have to come up to Springfield.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk some more with Senator Shemph here on The People Speak right after this. 9:35. This is, again, The People Speak, and we're talking with Senator Paul Shemph today. And Senator, you talked about, mentioned a little bit about the election process. Maybe we can talk just a little bit about that, because I know people are going to start coming up to your constituents out there and say, hey, can you sign this?
Right. And that's why I made the announcement at the time that I did, because I wanted to make that announcement right before the start of the petition gathering period so that anybody that wanted to run for my seat would be able to do that. And the way you have to, the way you get on the ballot for the primary is you have to gather petition signatures. And to get on the ballot for state senator, if you're running as one of the established political parties, either Democrat or Republican, it takes 1,000 signatures for a state Senate seat. It takes 500 for a state rep seat. So, and you can turn in up to three times the amount. So when I ran for state senator, the requirement was 1,000 signatures. I turned in 3,000 just because there's a process where sometimes you can win an election by getting your opponent kicked off the ballot. In fact, former President Barack Obama, that's how he won his first political office, was, you know, he had an opponent in the primary for his state Senate seat. She turned in the signatures that were required, but just not very much over the amount. And he challenged a number of her signatures and got her disqualified. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, that's one way to win an election is to get your opponent kicked off the ballot because they don't have enough signatures. So if you know what you're doing as a candidate, you always turn in way more than what the amount is, because the signature really, it's supposed to match the address that you're, you know, that, that you're a registered voter for. And if, if you are registered to vote as William, you should sign William. If you sign Bill, that's potentially not a good signature. So when people are out and about with clipboards asking you to sign your name on something for them to get on the ballot, that's what's going on. They're collecting petition signatures. Senate candidates need 1,000. Representative candidates need 500. Now, you can sign, interestingly enough, if there is a primary and say there's like four Republicans running for a state rep position, you can sign for more than one candidate. What you cannot do is you cannot sign for different candidates from both Republican and Democrat parties, because what you're signing is you're signing that you are an elector from a certain party. And you can switch from cycle to cycle, but like this election cycle that's coming up, if you want to sign for a Republican, you can only sign Republican petitions for the rest of this election cycle. Mm-hmm. The next election cycle, you could switch and sign Democrat ones if you wanted. But that's the way it works. You can sign more than one candidate's petition, but they have to be of the same party.
How does that work if you have like an independent candidate?
Well, independent candidates, if you're not running for an office as either a Democrat or a Republican, one of these established parties, which the state of Illinois considers an established party as a party that got more than 5% of the votes in the last election. So if you say, you know what, I'm just going to start my own party, I'm going to call it the Freedom Party, you have to get significantly more signatures. I think it's about like three times more signatures than the established political party's requirement is. It's easier to get on the ballot either as a Republican or a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes a little bit of sense, because you know that there's going to be a little bit of infrastructure associated with those two parties. And, you know, like it or not, in reality, we have a two-party system. And usually what happens is once a special interest group gets strong enough to have a following, that group gets absorbed into one of the two parties. But so this year, what we will have, there's a number of candidates that have already come out and said that they're going to run for different elected positions. I know there's other people that are weighing their options, but right now the only person that is announced to run for state Senate, the seat that I'm vacating, is Terry Bryant, who's currently the representative for the southern half of my Senate district. So she's intending to move up. So she is circulating petitions to run for Senate. And then that leaves her seat vacant. So there are, I think there are a number of people interested in running for her seat as well. And that's just on the Republican side. On the Democrat side, I know that Representative Nathan Reitz is running for re-election. I don't know if any other candidates that are maybe gonna run for Terry Bryant's seat. I haven't heard any Democrats coming out yet to say that they're going to run for the seat that I'm vacating. But we've always been very fortunate here in Southern Illinois in that we've had good people, you know, that are running for office. You know, and I think we need to recognize that it's a very difficult life to be a candidate or to be an elected official. You have to put your family through a lot. Mm-hmm. So we can disagree sometimes vehemently on political topics, but I think we need to respect and thank people that are willing to put their hat in the ring and put themselves out there so that our government can work.
Right. I know from my personal experience of running for just a small county office, I mean, that's going through a lot just doing that. I mean, imagine amplifying that to the state level and even the national level.
Well, and it's a challenge. The Senate district that I represent is a challenge because it covers a large area and you have a lot of different equities. And that's one of the things that's different about some of these Southern Illinois districts as opposed to the Chicago districts, where you have a huge amount of people packed into a very small area. Mm-hmm. Because we cover such a wide geographic area, there are different equities and different viewpoints within my district. A lot of times you're told, vote your district. Well, the response to that is, well, what part of my district? Because, you know, the political leanings of Monroe County are very different than Randolph County or Perry County in some instances. You know, and what's popular in Waterloo, where I'm from, is going to be radically different than what's popular in Carbondale, which is part of the district as well.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things, once you're in office too, is to maintain contact with your constituents and whatever. And one thing you've instituted here, of course, you know, I like it because I like coffee, but is coffee and conversations.
Yeah, we started the coffee and conversations series earlier this summer. We're going to continue that through the fall. We have the next three dates set. We're going to be doing a session in Marissa on October 12th. That's going to be an afternoon session. Then on Saturday, November 2nd, we're going to be in Waterloo back in the morning. And then on Saturday, November 9th, we're going to be in Chester in the morning as well. So October 12th in Marissa in the afternoon, November 2nd in Waterloo in the morning, and November 9th in Chester in the morning. Those are the next three coffee and conversation sessions. And the idea behind these is it's like a much more laid back town hall type atmosphere. It's just, we try to do it where, you know, people have a chance to sit down with a beverage and just keep it really informal, where, you know, I can just sit down and talk with individuals, small groups, or sometimes people want to hear me, you know, just address a large group and give a speech and answer questions from the crowd. It's very informal. However, however the attendees want to do it, I'm going to do it. I just think this gives people an opportunity to come and see me and fill me in on what they're mad about, what they'd like to see done. And it really, it definitely makes me a better state senator to hear from my constituents.
Well, kind of keeps you up as far as, you know, the leanings of the district.
It does, and that's one of the ways that I try to communicate with people. Also, if people want to have a one-on-one meeting with me, you know, at one of my district offices, I'm happy to do that as well. Right now, we're not in session in the General Assembly. The next, I'm going to be headed up to Chicago this coming week because I have a JCAR, the Joint Committee for Administrative Rulemaking. I have a hearing on Tuesday in downtown Chicago, but we're not scheduled to be in session with the General Assembly until the fall veto session, which is at the end of October, beginning of November. So I am around. It gives me the opportunity to go out, tour businesses, visit with some of the local mayors, try to figure out what the needs of the district are. And, you know, I'm available for constituent meetings at my offices as well. And I will give a scheduling phone number for my offices. Just if you do want to meet with me, either in Murfreesboro, Mount Vernon, Sparta, or Waterloo, the number that you need to call for that is area code 618-684-1100. 618-684-1100. That's That's the number to call and schedule a meeting for me at one of my district offices.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get our next break in here, and we'll come back and talk some more with Senator Shemp here on The People Speak right after this. And just a little under 6 minutes left in the program here, talking with Senator Shemp. And one thing just wrapping up here, a week or so ago, the Du Quoin State Fair.
It did, and we just a couple days ago, the administration was able to announce the numbers for the Du Quoin State Fair, and they reported that attendance was up by about 125,000, which is excellent news. You know, I know that at one point there were some people upset about the entertainment options, and there were calls for a boycott. Fortunately, that did not pan out, which is good. So they said we were up by about 125,000. It's somewhat inexact because they were just basing attendance on the number of cars that were parked. But I'm confident that the numbers were up. Really, when I spoke with the vendors, you know, the vendors out there were saying that their numbers were up. And it just, you know, being the state senator for this area, I was down there quite a bit. And there were, there seemed to be more people this year. So we got that bit of really good news, you know, on the fun with numbers side. The downside was, you know, the enrollment is still going down at SIU Carbondale. That was announced about a week ago. I do think, though, that we have a good team in place down there. They're starting to focus, rightfully so, on trying to recruit students from Southern Illinois high schools. And that's something that I've believed for a long time, is that if SIU Carbondale is going to be successful long term, that has to be the place where our good students from our Southern Illinois high schools right here at least consider going. Right. And I know that they are having coming on September 18th, they're having a day to kind of promote the university with our Southern Illinois high schools. I was given a list of all the schools that were attending and the kids that were coming that day. A lot of our local schools here right in Randolph County are sending kids down. So I think that SIU has bottomed out. I think they're going to be on an upward trajectory now. And, you know, I'm still optimistic about SIU Carbondale's future.
Right. It's a little bit off yet, but still coming up later on this fall's the veto session. How is that looking?
Well, right now, the subjects that I'm going to be really kind of watching out for in the veto session are, you know, there have been discussions nationwide about the need for red flag gun laws, basically, where you could report somebody that you think is a threat. I'm going to be very skeptical about that because I just, you know, I'm worried about our constitutional rights and stuff being taken away without due process. Another thing that I'm very concerned about is, and this is something that the Governor Pritzker's administration didn't really work towards, but I know he's made a lot of promises on this, is on the energy front. I'm really worried that there is going to be a push to try to legislatively close all of the coal power plants in the state of Illinois. That's going to be coming at some point. A lot of the environmental groups already want that to happen. That's something that I'm going to be strongly opposed to because, you know, there are so many jobs, and I just think we can't afford not to develop our resources, and we can't afford not to have an all of the above energy plan. We have to get our energy from everywhere that we can. And right now, if you look at the grid, of the electricity that we're using right now, probably about 45% of the electricity that's powering the lights in the studio is generated by coal energy plants. And to say, oh, well, we're going to just completely close those down and not have that source of energy by 2030, I think that's extremely short-sighted. I don't think we're going to get to that point. So those are kind of the two issues that I'm worried about, that there may be trouble brewing in the future for the upcoming veto session, and maybe next spring would be more laws that propose to restrict our Second Amendment rights, and then stuff that may hurt our ability to develop our energy resources here in Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, alternative energy sources are out there, but they're still not at the level to where, you know, I mean, we still need the coal plants.
They're a long way away from being able to supply the energy that we need. And frankly, they're not cost effective right now either. They're being used, but they're being heavily, heavily subsidized. Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of developing all of our energy resources. What I'm not in favor of, though, is the government picking winners and losers in the market. Mm-hmm. And one of my frustrations as a state senator representing Southern Illinois is, I do feel like we're not able to develop all the energy resources that we have in the state of Illinois.
So several issues to be looking at coming up here through the winter months.
Those will be stuff that we look at. It's one of the things that I've wound up seeing a lot of, having a lot of issues with is just, it seems like a lot of my fellow state senators and representatives think that they've been elected to a 59 member school board up in Springfield. And I really, one of the things that I push back on is I believe that local school board officials should be the ones making decisions about local school board curriculum. A school board election is incredibly important. That I think we need to empower our school boards, our teachers, our administrators, and I don't think we empower them by having state senators and state representatives making curriculum decisions in Springfield.
All right, well, Senator, we're out of time, but thanks for stopping in.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
All right, and we'll look forward to talking to you next month.
Sounds good.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you on Monday. Okay.